The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi guys.
We're back. All right. So, everyone, this is going to be a packed episode. We have a lot to get through. But first, I figured we would just do a little bit of a catch up and see how we're doing, because we know that you're all disgruntled and angry with us for taking so much time off. And I, again, refer you back to,
it's my
you know,
fault.
16 years ago. It's all Tara's fault. Honey, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to be back doing the podcast. I'm excited to be home. I can't believe summer is over. But it was, it was the best summer of my life, so
yeah,
can't complain.
I have been seasonally depressed, and the sunshine gives me no joy, and I've been drinking too much.
It's so weird. I mean, yeah. I understand you in every way, but this way. Yeah, like, the sun makes me so, when it is cloudy, I become extremely depressed.
I need the gray grit. This is why I could live in Russia. I need that gray sort of sad.
Why?
I don't know.
Explain it. What does it make you feel?
It just makes me feel alive. The chill in the air. It makes me feel happy. It keeps me going. I don't feel tired. But the sun, it's almost like God is trying to say, you are going to be happy right now. And I'm like, well, F you. I don't want to be happy right now. So then it's just this constant fight between me and Jesus and the weather. And I don't know what it is. But anyway.
Skating.
Yes. Yeah,
blame skating. It messed you up somehow.
I think the skating definitely
in so many
did
ways.
So eccentric. All right. So obviously the biggest news of both of our summers has been that you got into Game of Thrones.
Yes, really.
So
beyond the wedding, it's all about Game of Thrones. Okay, Jay. So, you know, everyone talks about Game of Thrones. I just always thought this is not my show. I'm just not into that type of thing.
I watched
the first episode many times and just didn't click. And
it takes three episodes, I think.
Right. And then I was like annoyed that everyone was so into it and I was missing out. So I was like, well, I better try again. So on the honeymoon, Todd and I tried. I mean, Todd has watched a couple seasons and he's like, just pay attention. So I really paid attention because like so much happens in that first episode that if you're not really hooked and watching, you're missing so much that you don't get invested at all. But I watched, I was like, ooh, kind of like it. And then literally we were in Greece and I was like, we don't need to go outside. Episode 2, episode 3, episode 4. Like, I became obsessed. I'm completely obsessed now. It's all I do. It's all I think about. I can't wait for Todd to come home from work. And you know me. I love going to dinner. I'm like, oh, we can skip dinner tonight. Let's start.
Yeah.
Let's get another episode
in. I'll blow you up a hot dog.
So I'm only on season 4, though, because we have been traveling and working and doing things. But I love it.
Now, who are your favorite and least favorite characters?
I'm bad with names, but I love the Mother of Dragons.
Yes,
Daenerys. What is her name?
Daenerys Stormborn, yeah. Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons,
I feel
the Unburnt.
Everyone loves her, but I really connect with her, and I want dragons. Like, I feel this want every time the show is on, and I don't know what it is. Like, I have Dublin, but I would like a pair or, you know, a triplet of dragons. That would make me happy in life.
I'm your dragon?
Maybe. I mean, but how much fun would it be to have like fire breathing dragons?
No one would ever try and take our jobs.
So that's been a joke. Every time it comes on, I want Todd to get me a set of dragons. But I love, who else? Oh, Jon Snow, obviously.
Yeah, so handsome.
I like the wildling girl too. She's fun. The redheaded one.
Oh, yeah, well, that story takes a fun twist. You're
going to
like it. Yeah. Oh, don't say,
does
no.
She
you
die?
Don't know what's going to happen.
She doesn't die.
I have no idea. See, the thing I've learned about being together somehow. Well, the thing about being a Game of Thrones fan, as I am hardcore, I was 3 seasons late. And then I binge watched all 3. And now I'm one of those obsessive people that does Game of Thrones inspired Instagram posts. I do the Twitter at Game of Thrones because I'm like, notice me, Game of Thrones. And thank God they follow me now because I worked really hard for it. But I'm so obsessed that I'm terrified of giving spoilers away and talking too much.
Well,
so I'm not going to tell you.
I mean, the Red Wedding was so shocking. Like, Todd was like, close your mouth. My mouth was just like agape the entire time I was watching this happen. I was so upset. I loved the mom and
Catelyn Stark.
It was so upsetting. I mean, even when I started, when Ned Stark died, I still miss him. I miss Ned a lot.
Now, I don't miss Ned that much.
Why?
Because he was in Lord of the Rings, another sci-fi hit, and he really just was not a strong person in that one. He was just kind of feeble. And I felt the same about him in Game of Thrones. Like, he was just so go with the flow.
Oh, I love Ned.
I miss Ned.
It's been, you know, 3 seasons for me, and I still think about Ned.
Well, you shouldn't, because he really isn't that important.
Aww.
Now, having seen the most recent season finale, it is awe-inspiring. The clothes that Khaleesi wears, the things that go down, are just it's Jerry Springer crossed with Xena Warrior Princess, crossed with My Little Pony, and everything else that could ever possibly be good in this world. It was just stellar. So I'm really happy we're on board. We'll have our viewing pleasure ready for Korea.
I mean, I'm way behind. It's sort of like Lost, where I watch it like 10 years too late. So I'm sure people are like, of course you want dragons. You're in season 2, you know?
Wow, she's so busy judging Miss America. That came across my news pass this morning.
Oh, yes.
My news
that
this
just
morning.
Happened.
Now, I've judged a beauty pageant. I judged the Trump one. I don't know if that's Miss America or Miss USA.
No, it's not.
Okay, good. But how did you like come to be interested in judging a beauty pageant?
I mean, I don't know about you, but did you watch them growing up?
I did and do.
Yeah, they're amazing. Like, I think they're really fun. I think they've evolved and changed over the years. And I don't know. I'm kind of excited to go. I did Miss Universe, and that was when I was in Moscow. I don't know if you remember that, but I loved it.
Of course I remember. Am I not your mother?
Yes, of course you remember. So I'm excited. You get to dress up. We get to watch this fun competition and be part of it. So, yeah, it's happening. Atlantic City.
Yeah. I mean, I've judged one, and it terrified me because the ladies are so – they're so put together, and they're so empowered and so strong, and they're trying to do such an amazing thing. But when you're sitting on that judging panel and they stare you down –
oh, I know.
They basically burn your retinas with their smiles and their poise.
I know. It's sort of like
commentating,
Johnny, because you have to, like – even though
I hate it when the skaters
you know,
look at us.
And they look at you and you're like, oh my God, they want this so badly. And they're awesome, but I have to judge this correctly. I remember at Miss Universe being like, oh, this is tough. But but it's stressful because they like, I don't know if you remember, like you go through like sort of a training of how to, like it is a serious, serious thing. And
it's a
you
real
have to
thing.
Be like aware and on top of your game because it goes by quickly too. So, yeah.
You got to put that score
in. Put those scores in quick.
See, I was the kind of gay token on my panel. So everyone else was sort of like in it to win it. And they were all on sort of a same page. So they were all like 9.3 for, you know, Miss Maine. And then I was all 4.7 for Miss Maine.
Oh,
because
no.
Because I didn't like her dress or, you know, whatever it was. So I was completely off. Anyway, moving on. You got married.
I did. It was I miss it.
Wow, I did.
I miss it so much. Is that weird? I had so much fun that week and weekend, and there's so many good memories that why can't we just do it every weekend?
Well, I mean, I had to dry out for at least 2 weeks after. Mommy was drunk the whole time, giving her child away, her first and only born Khaleesi, giving her away. So let's kind of go through what people couldn't have learned by reading People magazine, which we pretty much told them, like, oh, you need to buy this or else you're dead to us. So what can we tell everyone that they didn't see in People magazine?
Well,
like,
let's go through. It was a fun week because all of my girls came out early, so we were just kind of chilling. And at that point, I had done so much prep that I was able to relax and really let go. I don't know if you noticed how ridiculously calm I was.
You were. It was really
my mom is like, what? Yeah, it just was, and I look back, and that's one of my favorite things. Like, when I was walking, I'm skipping ahead now, but walking down the aisle, I was so, I don't think I've ever been that happy or felt so right and felt like this was so meant to be and exactly where I want to be in life. And as crazy as that sounds, it really, like, made an impact on me as I was walking down that aisle, because you think, like, oh, everything's happening so fast, you're just going to be, like, all over the place. And I just wasn't. Like, walking down with my dad was hard. I don't know if you saw how much he cried.
Yes. Okay, so let me stop you for a second. But one of the moments when, you know, you and I are family, but, you know, there's a blood family that you also have that I am not
right.
a blood family with. So I was in the room when your dad saw you in your dress the first time.
Oh, you were there, yes, crying.
I was there. I was trying so hard to tuck behind a nightstand or a couch, whatever I could have hid behind, I was trying to do so he could have this moment with you. I do believe I wound up in the bathroom, sort of watching in a mirror what was happening.
But how cute was that?
Oh, my gosh. Your father, your mom kept it together really well.
Right.
Very much the same as you, because you guys had both been so prepared.
She started crying when we were taking pictures. I don't know if you saw that upstairs, too. And I took her hand. I was like, Mom, this is so happy. This is not like the old days where I'm just going to, like, gallop away on a horse to a land far, far away and never see you again. Like, nothing is going to change. And she just was, she was crying. I was like, it's supposed to be happy. And then, like, she's like, you're so right. Like, we're going to enjoy every minute. And then she was good. But Dad couldn't keep it together the whole day.
Nope. Nope. He was a solid daddy mess.
He was so cute. And
Jack!
When he gave me away, like, he handed me to Todd, he was obviously, like, crying. And, you know, I think I've never seen my father cry. So maybe when at his mother's funeral, and that has been it his entire life. And he was trying not to, because he's just not that guy to cry.
Right.
And all I heard, I didn't hear what he said to Todd, but he just said, you know, this is my little girl. Like, please take care of her. And I was like, done. I was like, okay, keep it together. I can do this. But walking down that aisle, like, it is one of those moments. My mom, you know, I think this, for any bride-to-be girls out there, you hear so much advice from people around you and your mom and your friends, and like, my mom gave me the best advice leading up to the wedding that didn't actually hit home till it happened. Like, I remember when we were looking for my dress and I wanted an after party dress and all this stuff, and she's like, stay in your dress as long as you can. Like, I promise you, yes, you'll be able to dress up throughout your life, but you'll have these, you know, moments where it just, you really do feel like a princess. And I think I was like, yeah, you know, I've dressed up most of my life. Like, I don't know if I'm going to feel that princessy, but I can say walk, and I'm not one of those, you know me, like, I'm not one of those princessy girls, but walking down that aisle, putting that dress on, it did feel so magical, and it made the day feel that much bigger in a way. And I remember, like, not wanting to take my dress off. I, like, waited to the very last minute to, like, switch dresses. And, you know, she said other things, like, when you're walking down that aisle, like, to really try to take in all these moments and take these, like, little pictures in your head. And I did. I felt like I was so calm and could really remember it. And it was obviously super emotional. Like, the ceremony was probably, for me, the best part. Seeing Todd, like, as I walked down, not only is my dad crying, but Todd's crying. I don't know if you could see that.
No, okay, so let me jump in before we get to more of this magical story. So, flip side, guys, this runway that we walked down was about a country mile. It was the longest that I'd ever walked outdoors.
Your surprise.
Okay, so first of all,
oh, you had two, though.
There were so many surprises. Like, you did it up for Mommy. I felt so special all day.
Yeah, never do I forget
special,
Mommy.
Special boutonnieres with glitter and one with pearls, and they were just stunning. We ended up going with the glitter. So that was a special treat for Mommy. And then when I stepped onto the runway with Miss Kelly Hurley, Bad Romance from Lady Gaga came on. And it was just, it was not the bad romance version. It was your orchestra playing it.
Strings, so yeah.
The strings. It was just, it was magical.
It really
and
was.
Wonderful. And Kelly and I really didn't know what to do with ourselves, because guys, down there in the South in the summer, it is hot.
Hot.
Okay. And I'm not talking any hot that I've ever dealt with. I was sweating down my back, and I'm a lady, and I don't do that. So the whole time going down this country mile in front of everyone, plus I'm light-eyed, so the sun really, you know, sun and me. Anyway, we just don't get along. So we're walking down. I'm sweating. Kelly Hurley is dripping off of her lip. She's like, I'm a mother. I can't deal with this heat. So then we get to the line, and it was beautiful. But we were desperately trying.
Yeah, it was hot. Hopefully, though, like the heat. I mean, hopefully it was just for the ceremony. And then obviously the tent was nice and cool, so it made everyone
happy.
The tent
was cool. But I feel like I just sweated all day.
Yeah.
Because then we went from the ceremony and then the speech, and I was nervous. And anyway, we'll get to it. But it was hilarious walking down with Kelly, and it was such a moment. And then we were like, I was sweating into my mascara. Like, it was just, it wasn't crying. I was completely composed and together. I was making sure that the dubby ran straight. Like, I just wanted it all to go well. And
yeah,
the sweat was just dripping.
Oh, that was another thing, though. Dubby. People might not know that. He came out. We kind of pretended that we were missing one of the rings. So his uncle, Jason, ran him down the aisle to Elvis's hound dog. And he came and he saved the day. So that
was
a cute moment.
I was more worried about the flower girls.
Oh, I know they made it, though.
They made it. And it was, guys, it was perfect.
They were such, like, puffs of, like, tulle. It was so cute.
But I was more nervous, I think, than you were at that point. I was just like, oh, my God, the wind is going to blow her veil, and I'm going to have to step up onto the chuppa and sort of sort it out.
But all the pictures, like, really turned out so great, in my opinion. And, like, that ceremony, like I said, like, it was beautiful. It was outside overlooking the water. We had this beautiful, what do they call, like, a big arch of type. It wasn't a real arch, but
it's like a chuppa. It's like a Jewish chuppa.
And
it was, what is it, a pagoda?
It was beautiful, like, with
gazebo.
I don't know, something.
It was just a big arch of flowers. It was just a whole bunch of roses.
There was a lot of flowers, and it was so pretty. And then, you know, my dad walked me down most of the aisle, then my mom joined us, and Todd's vows, like, were ridiculous, and I don't know. It was just one of those crazy moments that, you know, it lives up to all the hype and more, and it's just, for me, it was even more special. I thought it was just going to be like, you know, you have this and it's fun and it's, oh my God, it's happening. But it did feel so big to me of, like, what was changing for our lives. Like, I felt different. You know what I mean? Like, going in, I was like, I'm not going to feel any different. I've been with him for 2 years. Like, but I did. I felt like it, you know, changed us in this great way. But we skipped ahead. We had a week of festivities before that.
Yeah, I mean, well, just to end it, I mean, the ceremony was glorious, and it was everything that you guys, you know, the billions of you that listen to this podcast, that you would want to hear. There were tears. It was so regal and so beautiful and chic. And
Todd's vows were good, right? Did you hear
Todd
them?
He was good. Like, you both did really well.
Yeah, I tried.
I'm glad you went first. And you had a stiff upper lip. The only time I ever saw you sort of get how you get before we go on TV, or before I was assuming you are, before you go on the ice, was right before we all had to leave. So we had a staging area. And where everyone was getting ready, and Tara had hair and makeup, and we were all just sort of, you know, the bridal party was all in one tent, and then we golf carted it over to where we had to get to walk. And it was the last thing that I said to you, and I was like, shit, you said the wrong, or poop, you said the wrong thing. just bleep me, Jason. Poop, you did the wrong thing, because I was like, oh, you got your crazy eyes on. Because you do get crazy eyes before you go and do things, but
it was
not the right time.
Yeah, calm, and like, I stare. I you know what I mean? Like, I'm not in it. I'm just focused.
Just staring, steely glare.
You bring
but
up
anyway,
that.
It was perfect.
Remember my dad steaming your bustle?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, guys, we were all on this huge bus, and that's how we got from Kiowa to where the actual ceremony was happening, and all of the bridal party, and everyone was, like, in their suits and whatever. But we were on this bus, and I somewhere had smudged my bustle, which was, you know, the prime aspect of my suiting.
It was really
was
cute.
My bustle. It was really cute, and I looked very dapper, but I smeared it with oil somewhere. And there I am, first of all, trying to steam out the wrinkles because I was an idiot and sat down in my jacket. So I was trying to steam it, and then I had this oil slick, and I had no idea what to do with it. But luckily, Jack Lipinski was there, and he knew precisely what to do. So just like 20 minutes before, you know, he's giving his daughter away to some dude, he's steaming my bustles. So
I really need a picture of that. I don't know where that went. Okay, there's so many more things. First off, let's talk about, we're going to go back in time a little bit. Yep. My mom, you know, is obviously so thoughtful in like little things she does and gifts she gives and
everything has a meaning.
It does. And
Pat.
I don't know if I told you this the day of because it was so rushed, but that morning while everyone was getting ready, she like had me come outside and we exchanged gifts and I got her this beautiful frame that I had made with this like quote and, you know, a handkerchief and all these small things. And she gave me something that just blew my mind. So she sits down and like she gives me a few things like that are really beautiful and meaningful. And then she's like, Tara, here's these books. And there's these old books, like huge, like volume after volume. And she's like, I wrote to you every night of my life since the day you were born till the day you got married. And I was done. Done in that moment. And like she bookmarked a page of the day I went and, you know, I was baptized and I'm in a white dress and she's talking about like, you know, thinking ahead the next time I'm going to be in a white dress and like, you know, she wants this time to go so slow and whatever. And I was just
a puddle.
So that happened. And then when I got the bouquet, when dad was steaming your bustle, I got the bouquet. And so in our family, and I also, you saw this at the reception, but when I was in second grade or first grade, when I was going to school, I obviously always was so close to my mom and I missed her. And she gave me this locket and it was a picture of me and her and then me and my dad. And I lost that locket somewhere and she always has been so mad that I lost it. And I have too. And so crazy.
Well, Mommy gave up seltzer to be able to afford the first locket.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
So then what happened was, though, we must have we obviously are always thinking on the same wavelength, but we did the same thing at the wedding. So I pick up my bouquet, and there is the locket, okay? Somehow, it was in Texas. My dad had to go through literally box after box after everything to try to find this locket that took, like, weeks to find. And there it is, and it's on my bouquet. So I was like, oh, my God. But then I was sort of mad because I had thought of the same thing. Now, I couldn't find the real locket, but I got a locket made, and it was really cool. They did an etching of me and my mom on the front of the locket. So I gave them, like, a baby picture, and they were able to etch it, you know, exactly as the picture on top of the locket. And then inside I had, you know, our pictures or whatever, and I gave that to her after I danced with my dad because I was like, you know, dad gets all the glory today, but whatever. And it was just so funny that we both did the locket thing. We both had those special moments together. And so anyway, that was really like obviously emotional and fun for me during that week to have those times with my mom.
Then it's funny. No matter, I felt like when I was married too, I felt the same thing. Like you definitely have a change in who you are, what your identity is, because now you're two people instead of just the one.
Right.
And the things that parents hold on to when their kids get married. I mean, you won the Olympics. I went to two.
Right.
And those are huge, huge moments. I mean, for my dad, when we worked the Super Bowl was his most proud moment. But when you get married, they hold on to all of these crazy, lovely traditions. And they look at you as though you're their baby.
Yes.
And that little person that they raise. And it's just a weird... It's a really weird thing for all of you out there that haven't been married, just how your parents will then automatically revert to you being a baby.
Yeah. I mean, funny. I think like from hearing my mom, it's just like she just couldn't stop saying, you know, where did the time go? Like, I just still see you as my little girl. And I reassured them both. I was like, Dad, I don't know what you're thinking, but you're not getting rid of me anytime soon. So none of your duties will change. Just get ready for that. You will still be as involved as you were when I was 12, as it's always been.
If I pee a weird color, you're getting a phone call.
You're getting a phone call, which they did. Like, my dad was laughing the other day, like, even on the honeymoon. So I can't remember something happened, and I emailed him, you know, a list of questions in a frantic whatever flurry of, you know.
So, Dad, I'm definitely dying from this bug bite, right?
Yes, this is it for me. So, you know, calm me down. But anyway, we had, back to, like, the original part, we had so many festivities going on the week before. The welcome party to me was one of my favorite nights just because I got to see everyone, so I didn't feel like at the wedding I'm going to, you know, just be so preoccupied saying hello to people. It was a dance party of, like, all dance parties. We had this yes. band. If you're in Charleston, David Higgins is, I mean, he is the best. He was so fun. And they played, I mean, they play every type of music, but the energy is great. Everyone was dancing, losing their minds. So that was really fun. It was at the Cotton Dock, which was right on the water. And we had barbecue, which was really good. I don't know if you dug into that, but it was really good, Johnny.
I got into the banana pudding and mason jars at that.
Oh, yeah.
But mommy got drunk real early on.
Yeah. And then we had a lot of boomerangs. We like to take over the dance floor.
Yeah. And I feel bad for Todd every time we do it and he's there. Because there's no way he's going to compete with my moxie when I'm just flinging you into the air. And you and I have dance steps are prepared.
Yes.
You know, I just feel bad every time. But at the same time, I'm not going to stop doing it. I'm not going to stop twirling you. You're my little girl.
Right?
Oh, but it was just glorious.
It was such a fun night.
Kelly Hurley sweating again, looking after Scarlett. Okay, where is my child?
Yeah, I mean, just like she's off somewhere. I mean, Scarlett was my little flower girl and she was adorable.
What was perfect, though, is that night you got to see everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there were even people that couldn't make it to the actual wedding ceremony. Like, I think there were two or three
anyway.
But yeah, just masses of people that couldn't be at all of it. So they came to the welcome party, and it was so sweet to see them. And you got to say hi to everyone, because by the time the wedding came around, you were so just – you had said hello to everyone. You said
hello
and
thank you. Yeah, it was so nice. Like, I highly recommend that for anyone, even if it's just a get-together. Like, doing something before the wedding and, you know, in hopes that everyone can come – is so nice, because you get it out of the way and then you're able to have fun, and it's a long night and it's not like you have to do pictures and you have to do all these things. You're just there to sort of celebrate and have fun. So that night was awesome. It was really fun. All my girlfriends were together in one spot. You were there, my family, yeah. My dad was dancing that night, which was awesome. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, he cut a rug. Yes, it did.
So fun.
I formed the biggest crush on your dad we were at the wedding.
He's so great, right? You've never really got a chance to, like, spend time with him.
No, but... I mean, we've seen each other from afar. We've said hello.
Right.
Like, he's usually in and out because he's a busy man. And this was the first time I really got to connect with him, and he was just awesome to be around. He's a man's man. He's a ladies' man. He's just all the things.
He's the best. He's all the things. But anyway, then we did rehearsal dinner. And that night, like, that was
much more intimate. That was much more intimate.
But it was awesome. Like, the setting, right?
We were at a country club, which usually they don't let my kind in, but they did this time.
Well, it's, like, very relaxed, and it has, like, we were all outdoors on the greens, and, like, the ocean is right there, and it had a beautiful breeze. So all the pictures, everyone looks glorious with their hair sort of, like, flowing in the wind, and... it was like a perfect night, and the food was good, and we had some fun speeches, and that was really fun. Although I remember thinking, like, that night, like, oh my goodness, it's almost over. Like, it was starting to hit home that everything's starting to move so quickly after a year of planning.
You're going to be married tomorrow.
It's happening. So then the wedding day was awesome. Everyone was over the house getting ready.
The funny moment. Do you remember so I was working with a makeup artist I'd never worked with down there before.
Oh, yes.
And do you remember when I walked into your bathroom? I don't know if you actually saw me.
I did. Of course I did.
Like,
remember, that's why I said, can someone fix that?
Yeah. So
it was just the wrong color of foundation, I think.
I walked in. And anyway, I made sort of an amateur error. So I got drunk at the rehearsal dinner the night before. So I was a little bit late getting to your house. Not 3 hours late. But a little bit late, so I was already feeling ashamed and guilty and that I shouldn't even go. And then I didn't deserve it. I was a bad friend. And then I sat down for makeup. And with hair, the dude that did my hair, I'd worked with the day before to give me a little cleanup because I'd been in Japan before and I didn't have time. Whatever. So busy. And I told the girl that was doing my makeup, I said, I love to look like just porcelain, like a plate.
Oh, so
and you're going to have to go heavy.
Light.
So she... took that very literally, and she made me the color of a wall.
Yeah, like a white matte wall.
A white wall. And she gave me 1940s film star eyebrows. So when I came up to see you, I couldn't see myself because we were all downstairs in the kitchen. There was no mirror, so I couldn't see. So I went up, and the way that all the girls looked at me, and then I finally got to see myself, and I looked like a mime. I looked like...
this is so funny.
Like I was just going to go the whole day not talking.
I mean...
And that was hilarious. I was going to ruin your wedding by being late.
No, we fixed it. under control. I mean, the best part was, you know, our photographer was amazing, Sylvie Gill. And, you know, you never know because you kind of just like choose these photographers on like a whim and hope that, you know, the things that you've seen match, you know.
What they saw.
What? Yeah. And so she came and I loved her from the moment I met her. We did the first thing we did together was like the boudoir shoot right before rehearsal dinner. And she was so cool. And then the rehearsal dinner. And then like I would see some of these pictures she'd show me. And I was like, oh, man, like we picked the right person. But I felt like she was like a great addition to the wedding because she was so calm and French and like.
Yes.
Chic and fabulous. And just made everything easy. Obviously, she knows her stuff. But it was like the pictures of me and you together like are ridiculous. Like,
well, everything that she took, she really embedded herself in the party. It wasn't as though she was a wedding photographer. She was really a part of the day.
Yes.
And I think that's how you were able. I mean, you're very open with people anyway, so it's easy to be comfortable in front of a camera. But, you know, for people out there, I think, you know, outside looking into your wedding day, mommy says, that you should definitely have a photographer that can really get in there with the troops, that can be one with everybody else, because then you're going to get the most authentic and beautiful photos. And that's what she did.
She did such a good job. And then the reception. So after the ceremony, which was sort of amazing.
It was regal and amazing and everything it was supposed to be.
Right. And then we went into the reception. We took some pictures and we went into reception. And the tent was like everything I dreamed of and more. I worked with Jackson Durham and they did all my flowers and a lot of the decor. And it was just, I don't know about you, Johnny, but like being in the middle of this like open field and then walking into that, this magical tent. I just
custom-built, like, air-conditioned box of love.
I mean, of course we needed AC. Like, dancing was going to be a huge part of it. We were going till 1 a.m. What's crazy is everyone says, oh, you're going to be so tired, blah, blah, blah. At 1 a.m., I was, like, ready to go. I was not tired at all throughout the day, and nobody wanted to go. So the DJ, like, I love him, DJ Rehab in Charleston. If you guys need a DJ, this is your man. Like, next time I have a big party and people are coming, like, I'm just going to hire him because he was awesome.
Yeah. He was incredible.
So he kept playing, and then he finally was like, hey, like, everyone wants me to keep playing, but, like,
we're
going
to go to jail.
Like, we're going to jail. So eventually we shut the party down. But that was fun because I said all along, what did I say? Like, I just want a big party where everyone's having a good time and not just kind of like, wah, wah, like, oh, this is nice. You know,
that's
like,
another steak. Well, first of
everyone stayed.
We have to do more reception because there are so many shenanigans that happened. And, you know, my role as first lady was really evident at the reception. But we have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll give you all the juice.
On NBC's Sports World, the Jerry Cuccia Randy Stevens heavyweight fight, US-USSR women's platform diving, and high-speed NASCAR racing, Sunday. Check it out now.
So we're back. We're going to talk more wedding. Johnny, no. Reception.
Okay, so the reception. So everyone, imagine that you're in this huge field that is flanked by, you know, these beautiful little lakes, and you're in a historic southern monument of sorts, and it's just all gorgeous, but you're sweating your balls off. It was just hot, but gorgeous, and you look pretty and all that stuff, whatever. Then there's this oasis of a tent that is just pure white tables, crazy cascading flowers, chandeliers, a stage with full like 70 person band on it. Not really, but like it was a lot of people. Plus DJ there and food and just happy people. And everyone's smiling because everyone's in air conditioning finally. And we're all celebrating Tara and Todd. Like, that's what the scene was. Perfect lighting, perfect ambiance, the flowers were outrageous. I mean, Jackie, who was my wedding date, she was sending my mother, because mommy, pictures of the flowers. My mom still has them all saved in her phone just because she's that into what happened with your florals.
It was so much fun. Like, on the head table where, you know, the whole wedding party sat, we did this, like, cascading garland that goes across the table and then spills out on either side of, like, the tablecloth on the ends.
It was like 20 feet of the most gorgeous blooms you've ever seen.
And then up like at where the big chandelier was, they did this sort of free form, like, I don't know if you looked up, like, flower thing on the ceiling, which was gorgeous. And
well, I think I saw it. I mean, I think yeah. I ended the night on my back anyway. But
I mean, you were in rare form.
Okay. So, guys, just because I felt so guilty about the night before being drunk at the rehearsal dinner because mommy was giving her little girl away. Anyway, not really. I just got drunk real quick. So got drunk, felt bad about it all day. And I knew I had to give a speech. And I knew it had to be the speech to end all speeches.
It really was.
And because Tara has been, you know, badgering me for months. Like, can I see your notes?
I well, need yeah, to know I timing. Mean, you, well, you say anything. So I'm just sort of thinking, like, what could he bring up? You know, like, are we going to go back into ex-boyfriend? About? Like, what's going to happen?
Like, like, I was touring Japan, and Tara's like, do you have your speech notes for me? And I knew it was important to her, and I knew that she, you know, type A, she's going to be in control of my speech. I just kept saying, yeah, I'll get them to you. Yeah, I'll get them to you. We're
and
on
then
a
I just was like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, and then, then it got really close, and she kind of left me alone with it. But I like to give a speech that you wing, because there's a lot more chance for emotion. If I had rehearsed it, it just would have been like I was reading something.
Yeah.
So I knew what I wanted to do, but I also had to ride two horses with one ass and be like, oh, yeah, I've got it. I've been working on it for months. It's going to be awesome. You're going to laugh and cry. It's perfect. So I didn't drink the whole day. And everyone else was getting more and more lit. So I was walking around the reception being first lady. I was Claire Underwood from House of Cards. I met the entire state of Ohio. I met where Todd Kapp is from. Yep. If you guys are just joining us for whatever reason, you should have listened to all of them anyway. But Todd Kapp's from Ohio. So I got to meet the entire state of Ohio. I got to meet extended Lipinskis. I got to meet yep. and see people that I hadn't seen for a long time from the skating world, from our NBC world. There were some shockers that showed up that I first ladied and got in there and had a conversation with. Just because you'd already done it, I had to go around and do it
right.
because you guys were busy. You guys were busy enjoying yourselves, which I think everyone should do at their wedding.
Yeah, we really did. We just didn't say much to anyone and just, like, hung out and partied and danced. And
chilled.
It was fun.
And you stayed in your dress a lot longer than I thought
I
you
know,
would.
I mean, loved it.
Full dancing. The music was insane. The food, though. I didn't get to have any cake because, again, I was greeting Ohio.
Oh, that mac and cheese, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it was a whole plate, guys. It wasn't just like, oh, it's you want chicken or fish. It was beef and chicken and taters and mac and cheese and greens and like the whole.
Yeah, we
like,
did like sort of
it.
Just like family style. And I again, it's something that I would suggest, even if it's just sides, like it, everyone loved that. And it was nice because you just don't get a plate with, you know, your meat and a side or fish and a side. You know, you get
everything
you want.
You get all of everything. And then there was the dessert bar, which I never got to because as soon as my speech was over, I started drinking. And when I drink, I don't like to eat. So, you know, I missed it. But the cake looked incredible. I started to try to have one bite because one of the girls, I think Laura Conair, went and got me a piece of cake.
Uh-huh.
And she brought it back to the table. But I was too busy greeting.
Yeah, you really, you were flitting around that room. Just
I had never held
taking
court
control.
Harder.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then his speech, guys, was ridiculous. Of course, it made me cry. I've been posting some of it on Instagram mm-hmm. slowly, so we'll get through all of it. But
I can't even watch it because I don't like my voice.
Oh, my God. I love your voice. You have such
well,
a good
voice. Well,
and
thanks,
I don't know. It made me feel so many emotions at once. And it was just fun. I mean, because it's like we work together, but this was such a personal life moment. And sort of like we share those moments together that no one gets to see. And then all of a sudden it was sort of like on a bigger stage. And I was like, yeah, maybe people like get what what we are a little bit more. But yeah, I loved that. I mean, you had to follow. So Chad was Todd's best man. I love Chad. And his speech.
Okay, so wait, let
was
me.
Was funny.
Chad is hysterical. Okay, so he's got the Ohio accent, if you guys can imagine. Imagine, like there's a bit of that in there, and he is tall, and he is wild, and he has so much energy. He's Energizer Bunny in man form, and a bruh. He's like a dude bruh, and I had to follow him, and I knew he was going to bring the house down because the Ohio crowd, having known from meeting and greeting earlier, they're rowdy. And they know Chad. So they're going to cheer their little faces off for Chad. And he's going to beat me.
Yeah.
And I cannot have the Ohio contingency beat me at Tara's wedding.
Right.
We win. So I was so nervous, not a drop of alcohol. You know, the girls went up and they gave beautiful speeches, but Chad's was really the
sand
crab, the knockdown drag out sand crab.
So he did this whole thing on sand crabs because he calls Todd a sand crab. Like, long story short, like, they go to Vegas on this, like, boys trip, and Todd's not a huge fan of Vegas. And
well, who is, honestly?
Right. But Chad just went into it about the sand crab thing. And the way he delivers, it's so funny. Like, his personality is so unique. So his delivery is so, like, charming and hilarious. But anyway, and over the top and funny. So he did really well. And then you had to follow that up, and you were awesome. So
yeah, I mean, spoke right from the cuff of my shirt. I really tried to bring everyone in, because it could be really easy with how exclusive you and I are when it comes to other people. It could have been very much me standing right in front of you talking only to you with the whole room around us.
Right.
But I tried to include everyone.
You did. I mean, like, that's the best part of a wedding speech, is when you, like, get to know, like, obviously the relationship that we have together, but then, like, experiences we go through, and, like, you know, like, I know you love me, but to hear you talk about me and sort of those moments that you don't normally share is, like, the most emotional part of it. And then, you know, adding Todd Kapp into the mix and our relationship together is so good. Sort of the dynamic that Johnny and Todd and I have, like, to have people sort of get a glimpse of what that is was a lot of fun. So anyway, it was amazing. We stayed up all night and danced. My feet were killing me. Sparkler exit. And
you got into your little flats, though, which was good.
I did. I was like, I have to.
You changed.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah.
You did the damn thing.
It was a good time. I got married, guys.
Yeah. It was absolutely glorious. I think the end of the wedding for me, I mean, you guys were escorted to the car, and you guys were doing the whole goodbye, everyone, like, you know, the cans on the back of the vehicle moment. So I then went back in, and we had to shut down just because we had sound ordinances against us, and we were all going to jail. And I would have had a stiff upper lip and taken it for the team, and I would have gone to jail for us because I was the one harassing the DJ to play longer.
Right.
But then I had the great drunken idea because, you know, coming off of your wedding, my success as a speech giver, I ran to the back catering kitchen and tried to steal wine and got
How'd
in trouble.
Go? Oh,
okay.
Not great.
So I tried to just pull it right out of there were some of the waiters that were going to be with me, uh-huh, and he was going to make me a bunch of sippy cups, and I just would have passed him out, and we would have taken the bus home to the hotel all together and been jolly. But I decided to take upon myself to really supply the bus with alcohol. So I went back, and I had been carrying around, like, not my biggest Birkin, but my second size Birkin, and I knew I could have fit like three bottles in there somewhat comfortably and covered it with my jacket. But I got caught. And they said, if you don't get out of here right now, we're calling someone.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, oh,
I'm out.
Poop. Who are you going to call? I got to run. So then I run.
Go.
I just bolt to the bus, and it was over. But it was the most extravagantly gorgeous day.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, at that point, I was in the car, and I had made sure that my cake, like a couple slices of the cake, would be in the car. But I did forget to bring utensils. So, you know, I was just sitting in my dress shoving cake into my mouth with no utensil.
Face straight to
did
plate.
Did not care, you know. Todd's wiping icing off my nose, and I'm like, yeah, just feed me. The cake was so good. But, yeah, so it was an awesome weekend, and then we, like, immediately left to do the honeymoon thing.
The honeymoon. Okay, so, guys, this is why we've been away so long, our summer season's been so long. So Tara decided to travel the entire globe.
Yeah, we did it, and we just did it up and said, you know what, why not? Todd was working ridiculously hard before, cramming in all these projects, knowing we were going to do this, and wedding planning, whatever. You know, this is our year in Korea, and I just thought this is our time to sort of do it. So we left, and when we get to the airport, Todd's like, oh, I don't have my phone. So he didn't have a phone for the first week, which was, you know, nice, but also strange because it's, like, right when you get married. So you kind of want to, like, chat with people and whatever. But
right.
we ended up in the Maldives, and it was just stupid. Like,
everything
I thought this was
going
to be,
about.
Yeah, you think, like, oh, tropical vacations, I've been to them, they're pretty and whatever, but it really was, like, you are in the middle of nowhere, you're in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and we had one of those over-the-water huts that was, like, an attraction in itself, you know.
Terrifying.
It's so private, And so gorgeous. You just, I mean, you would die. You see, like, little sharks and, you know, stingrays, like, swimming under your hut. And
well, you were posting things in the wide open ocean with dolphins and stuff.
Oh, yeah. So
I was terrified for you the whole time. And, of course,
you
only called
once. I don't like scuba diving or doing anything too adventurous. So a lot of people were probably like, oh, my goodness. Like, all my friends were like, are you bored or what are you doing? We just got into such a great schedule. We'd wake up, we'd go to this ridiculous like buffet. They have all these great restaurants on the little resort. It's only the resort is the island. Like there's nothing else there.
Yeah,
and
that's how they roll there.
Yeah. No, and it had amazing buffets.
You better enjoy your husband because you're not meeting anyone else.
And then, you know, we had bikes, we'd sort of like ride all over and just drink and hang by our like pool that was, you know, part of our hut. So then one day we went dolphin watching on this really cute boat. And afterwards, we didn't even know that they were going to stop. But they're like, oh, hey, you want to stop at this like little sandbar? And I was like, sure. Like they pull up on this little sandbar. It has to be like the right time of day because of the tide. And they jump off and we're literally like cannot see land in sight. So we're on this like teeny little, you know, bar of sand. And in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and that's all you can see. And we had wine and walked around, and it was ridiculous. So that was like one of the more memorable days there. But other
well,
than
also
that,
you got your ass out on Instagram. I was shocked.
Well, Johnny, you know, sometimes I just think like right now my butt will never look better than with this turquoise beautiful water behind it. So why not?
Well, also, you have a beautiful bum, but you know, also all those syndromes leading up to the wedding. So many health problems, so slim.
So slim.
You know, getting training, getting worked out for the wedding. You know, you looked awesome, but I was like, oh, Mrs. Kapustashi, your ass is out on Instagram. People are going to see that.
First off, what's funny is, like, I didn't think anything of it because.
Well, also, you're in your own little world. At
you're
that point,
in your
literally.
Own world. Todd, you know, Todd, he's always taking pictures. He's always, like, it's
the
never like.
Emmy-winning artist.
It's never the both of us. He's just always doing his thing. And I'm bugging him for pictures together. But, you know, I just – and you know the bathing suits I wear are those.
They're revealing. They're suggestive and
so
revealing.
So I, you know, didn't care. But we had an awesome time there. And then we moved on to Thailand. And we could have stayed another day. I remember being so sad leaving. I was like, no.
and but you had an itinerary. You had so many places. You were
yeah,
doing,
we really
like, –
we had to go to the next stop. But yeah,
United Nations of Kapustashi is what you guys did.
Oh, yeah. So then we did Thailand. We went to Chiang Mai, which was interesting. It was, you know, it's city-like, but we like kind of did all the temple things. I was expecting something a little bit more, I think, if I'm being honest. But
yeah. It was, well, tell the people because they're all looking to travel.
Right.
I mean, we're all getting ready for next summer.
You know, you see these temples, but it's sort of like you drive and see a temple and I thought it was going to be more of like the entire sort of city would feel different than it actually did. And not that it was bad and not that I didn't enjoy it because I would go back 100 times if I'm going to Thailand. Like I feel like going to those temples and sort of seeing what we saw was important.
Yes.
And we also did the elephants, which was like an interesting day because.
Wow.
It really
it sounds smelly is what it sounds like to me. I love an elephant and all, but just that sounds like it smells.
Yeah. So we went to this elephant sanctuary and there, you know, we meet all these amazing elephants, which was like, you know, incredible. Like you see these pictures and you're like, that's all I want to do. But then when you like actually get in it, you know, they have the like little hair that comes out of their body. That's very like coarse and prickly.
Yeah.
Which totally like would give me like goosebumps when I touched it. So I was always like, what's
feels
wrong
like
with me? Like I thought I was going to be hugging these elephants and just like, you know,
I thought I would
bear
put one
hugs.
In my suitcase
like,
and
yeah.
bring them home.
And I, yeah. and they're so massive that you're like, I was afraid like a little bit. They were incredible though. But it was a long, long day.
Describe the smell to me though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a unique smell.
That's all. You don't have to get any nastier than that. I think people
it's,
can
you know
clean.
It's a unique smell but
it's
it was
a special smell.
It was special but it was really like a fun day, so that we'll always remember. And then we went to Koh Samui, which was gorgeous. So we, you know, it was like very beachy, and we took a boat out and saw all the little islands and did that thing. And then the town.
But now Thailand isn't that where they have like the crazy sex shows where people like shoot ping pong balls out of themselves?
The lady boys.
Lady boys. Now, did you see any of that?
No, we skipped those shows. didn't make it there. Wasn't on the itinerary, but
I would have. That's where I would have gone first. I mean, screw the elephants. Send me to the ping pong show.
Yeah, no, we didn't do that. But we went. There was so the one night we decided to go out. It was like bad luck. It was Big Buddha Day. So
tell me what now? Excuse me. What?
What is Big Buddha Day? So like you can't drink on Big Buddha Day. It's like a holiday. Where
I'll be damned if someone's gonna tell me I can't
is not
drink.
Served. So we walk up to the cutest, like, you know me, I love like ambiance. It was called Coco Tom's. I'll never forget because I tell Todd now, like, I want to open up a Coco Tom's in Los Angeles.
Franchise.
So it's right on the water, and it's like real. It's like this beach bar, but it's like gorgeous. Like they have like these swings, and it looks like all new and awesome. And then bean bags that you sit on with these little tables all along the beach, like on the sand, and you drink, and they have these amazing drinks and food and music. And I was like, this is where I like am meant to be most of my days, like at Coco Tom's. So I like pull up, find the perfect like bean bag. I was like, oh wow, like you would think this is like busier. Like, how'd we get the seat? Well, no one's there because no one can get served alcohol. So I was like, can I have blah blah blah? And they're like, nope, you know, we can do a virgin. So that was sort of a bummer that we never really experienced Coco Tom's because of Big Buddha Day.
I hope you
like
mango juice.
but yeah, exactly. It was like, you want pineapple juice? What do you want?
You want a maraschino cherry?
So Thailand was awesome. It was Todd's birthday there. And the hotel was amazing. Like when we came in, they had a picture of us from our wedding. And like they really did it up on Todd's birthday. Like the golf cart came and it was like happy birthday. So it was sort of like he was 8 years old. And like they came out with these glasses on at breakfast that said happy birthday and like sang to him. So it was,
how embarrassed was Todd Kapp?
So he loved it though because it was so funny. And then I did a special thing for him. We did this like I did a private dinner on like the you know the beach one night for his birthday, and it was nice. And then I started to get sad that like the vacation was over. So Todd had to be like, Tara, you have 25 more days on this honeymoon. Like, chill out. You know me. I get sad. Things are over very soon.
Yeah. It's all done.
Okay. So before I move on the honeymoon, Jay, I think we're going to have to extend this to a double episode this week.
Yay! Okay, everyone. So as a end of summer back to school special, we're doing two episodes. The next episode actually comes out tomorrow evening. And we'll describe all of Tara's European trips. We'll talk about Storm. And we'll definitely talk about our new addition to Fan Corner, which is called Fan Call. That gives you guys a chance
to
be a guest. With a call. FANKALL. And it gives you guys a chance to be part of our show in an even larger way than Fan Corner allows. So join us tomorrow. And until then.
Bye.
Bye. I was sweating down my back. And I'm a lady.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.